We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal's coming up in a moment. Just a quick update. With the snow and the roads the way they are, there are numerous accidents this morning. So our friends at WBEN passed this along. On the 90 West at Walden, a crash has the left lane closed there. The 33 West beyond Harlem, left lanes are closed due to an accident. 190 North beyond Bailey, there's a two-car accident over there, and the right lane is closed. That's just a small sampling of what's going on the roads this morning, so please be careful. It's not like whiteout conditions, but obviously the roads are slippery, and we are seeing numerous issues on the roads this morning if you're headed out for your commute. 803-0550 to join us on our Western Hotline to talk more about Brandon Bean's Zoom call. His pre-draft Zoom call yesterday is our very own Sal Capaccio, who was on the call. And his article with a recap is at WGR550.com. Sal, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Hello, Sal C. How are you?
I'm good. I just got online, and the first thing that popped up was some article that says a new documentary is investigating whether Bigfoot murdered a Northern California pot farmer. So,
wow.
Just wanted you to know that's what.
Well, okay, there are multiple levels of discussion.
There's an actual documentary.
Bigfoot,
or actually farmers, plural.
So we've gone past whether or not Bigfoot actually exists to is Bigfoot a murderer in this documentary.
I'm gonna have to go out.
Correct.
On site,
yes,
yes. And investigate. I gotta go to this farm.
I gotta check it out to the pot farm just to see.
Yeah, I was gonna make sure this and check out the scene.
Well, you got to make sure it is really a pot farm, right?
Lots of things to be determined.
A lot of research to be done. And we can't. Okay, I'm not going to go down.
All these jokes were supposed to be told yesterday.
Happy 421.
That's okay.
Sal, so.
Nice. Way to go. Howard, I that very nice. I like it. Thank you.
What? What did I do? Wrong again?
You were never the one I would expect to make a joke like that.
No, I was just going to say how if you're going to do a few years ago, I had no idea what the hell 420 meant until Jeremy explained it
to me.
Correct,
yes.
And
a very bad influence on you.
Yes, you are. Yes, and my son. Obviously, if he's going to research the farm, you've got to light the stuff up to make sure it's really pot. I mean, you can't, how are you going to? So you have to actually.
What I was going to say was, Howard, I stopped. I was going to say, Howard, see, that's what happens when you have a younger son. I did not want to implicate Jonathan in any way about anything, but that's all. So let's move on.
He doesn't even know what this stuff is. So yeah, let's move on to the Bills.
Michigan State guys say? There. Go green. There. That's all I'll say.
Look at this.
Go white.
Speaking of, here's a transition for you. Speaking of being too high on players.
Oh, boy.
Do you think that when it comes to the draft, the Bills are. No. Sal, the story about yesterday's press conference has got to be the running back, right? It has to be, because if there's where there's smoke, there's fire. Now I'm not making jokes, but I forget who it was. Somebody tweeted that they poured gasoline on that fire. The idea that the running back conversation is alive and well, it has to be.
Yeah, I think it might have been Thad Brown who said that.
Yeah,
that
has the kerosene and the match on the fire. Yeah, I think that's right. I think it was Thad Brown. Yes.
Yeah, And he's right, but here's the thing. I think that it's the story if you want it to be, right? Because he spoke for an hour, and I think what's happened here, Jeremy, is it's been such a such a really interesting question and divisive at times issue in question with a lot of fans and media that you're going to latch onto that because that's the way it's been. He didn't, to me, say anything that gets you any more to where we have or haven't been. All he did was kind of leave the door open, which he's done with everything. It would have been more of a story for me if he would have said, sorry, guys, I don't believe in a running back that high. Like, that would have been more of a story. Mm-hmm. What he basically did say was, hey, of course, if we see a guy there, you know, we'll go up, we'll get him, we'll take him. And he did, I think the part that really opened the door that threw the kerosene on, though, was
talking about Moss
when he said basically, especially if, yeah, that they're not home run hitters, yep, and especially if we find a guy that offers an element we don't have. I think that is where that completely gets you. But I don't know. I don't think he's ever really changed from anything he said since really when he met with us at the end of the season when he said that about those guys.
Right. And I just tweeted this out. To me, this, I guess you look at the picture, we could talk about first-round running backs. You could talk about all the different schools of thought when it comes to the draft. And the Bills get a lot of credit for being a smart organization, and they've earned that. I mean, I think they are well-run. Their results speak for themselves. Their game planning, their passing on first down, a lot of the things they do are very smart. However, one thing that they do that I think the analytics, the smarts, would say you shouldn't do is trade up, right? They've traded up multiple times in drafts to get their guy, whether that's, well, go down the list, what, Deion Dawkins, Zay Jones, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, over and over again, they see a guy, they identify a guy, and they say, that's the guy. That's the guy we want. And it has worked out, what, with more hits than misses or whatever. They're winning despite doing a thing that people would say isn't that smart. And I think that could apply to running back at 32, Sal, because as we talked about it yesterday, I don't want to hear anybody try to convince me Saquon Barkley at 2 is the same mistake that any running back at 30 is, because they're oceans apart in terms of what the move actually would be.
Yeah. I thought a lot about this yesterday because I heard your conversation on Saquon Barkley and I heard your conversation on the NFL draft chart and things like that. And it is. There's a lot of nuance to it, right? I mean, there can never be a hard, steadfast rule of never trade up or never trade down. I mean, it just depends. Some of these work out, some of these don't. Every team is different. Every build is different. You're in the different phase of your roster like the Bills are right now. Now, I would not advocate for trading up for a running back, but, you know, if the Bills feel that strongly that one player is going to get them to a Super Bowl, then, you know, then there's your conviction, and that's why you do it. And by the way, yes, it's funny because yesterday, after listening to Brandon Bean, I thought about a lot of what he said, and the article I wrote was focused on him leaving the door open for all the moves, whether that's up, whether that's down, or staying there. He's been in charge of 3 Bills drafts. He's done all 3. The first year, he moved up twice. The second year, he stayed put. The third year, he traded completely out of the first round, right? So Everything absolutely is always on the table because he's proven that to be the case.
And, you know, is it Dave Gettleman who's never once traded down? I think that's the story on Dave Gettleman and right. All these drafts, yeah. He's never traded down.
In the first round, I think.
Yeah, that might be right. You know, the thing of it is, Sal, we also brought up the idea of next year's picks. Like, what kind of plan you think they have for next year? As he talked about cheap labor and wanting to get guys on the rookie deals, they don't have a lot of ammunition necessarily this year, so they could do one of two things. They could move up and spend it, or they could spend next year's picks, or if they do find opportunities to drop out, they could make sure that come next year, they're much more loaded for a more aggressive draft. Sometimes, you know, you have all that draft capital. It's nice to have it in the idea of you got a bunch of picks, but you like it because you feel like you have more, whatever, you have more money at the table. You're ready to go. You feel like you can play a lot more if you have more picks, and they could always build that for next year if they wanted to kind of get that in there somehow.
Yeah, I wrote about this back in early April, and it's called Trade or Stay. I wrote a column about this, and it's exactly what you said, Jeremy, which is I went through the 3 different scenarios, trading up, trading down, staying put, and if you do trade down, you can either get more picks this year or what my preferred model would be, I would love the Bills to do that, what you said, which is get more picks for next year because they're going to have to start structuring their team differently, and if they can have, you know, they have 7 picks this year. Let's say they have 8 or 9 next year. Well, at least you're giving yourself a chance now to keep the cupboard, you know, replenished, so to speak, right? Doesn't mean you're going to hit on every pick, but you're giving yourself more chances to take more swings to get guys that can be on rookie contracts for the next few years as you do have a Josh Allen on an extension or Tremaine Edmonds on an extension, and you do have to start thinking about all the money you're spending at the top end of your roster. Now you have more picks to use at the bottom end of your roster. That could happen this year. There's no doubt. They could still do that. I think the problem with this year, though, is I find a hard time taking 8, 9 guys are going to make the roster. You could do that all you want. Are those guys even making your team? Like that, to me, that's a wasted pick or opportunity. Now, it could work out, but I prefer that model. I think that would be smart of the Bills to trade down and get picks for next year to make sure that they're always keeping the machine moving.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sal's here. If you got a phone, if you got a question or comment or opinion, dial us up right now. That would be the phone portion, 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. A few other things I want to ask you about. Different topics came up yesterday. Among them, fifth-year options, and I guess that would dovetail us into the Josh Allen contract extension discussion. But let's talk about the fifth-year options. You recently wrote about Tremaine Edmonds specifically at WGR550.com. What did Bean say about the options next year? And I'm leading you in this question to talk about the importance of extending one or both before the 2022 season because of cap space.
Well, they have until May 3rd of the deadline is the deadline to exercise the option on both Tremaine and Josh for the 2022 season. May 3rd happens to be the day after the draft. It also happens to be that Brandon Bean said they're going to wait until after the draft to make that decision. So yeah. I expect either the decision, if they're going to do it, come down like that night after the draft or the next day, because it has to. If not, then you know they don't pick up the fifth year option. He talked a lot about, and in fact, I would say one of the things I took away from what he said yesterday, multiple times, he talked about the salary cap in 2022 not going up that much.
Yeah.
He said, yep, it's going to go up from 2021. It's not going to go up that much in 2022. So they have to really kind of figure out what they're going to do here. And as he pointed out, you're talking about Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds combined are going to be about $35 million. Now, again, that money is fully guaranteed for 2022 once they exercise both options, if they do. They have to make sure they have that cap space because that counts on your cap in 2022, short of any sort of extension. Like, it's not like you go into the 20. So let's say you exercise the option now. After next season, that's automatically counted on your cap in 2022. Like, it's not like you have the room to play with until the season starts. You know what I mean? So they have to make sure they have that cap space available. But that's why it's important to maybe try and get one or both on an extension done before that. And he basically said that, where you can do some different things with the numbers, so to speak, know where you are on the salary cap. So there's got to be a little bit of financial gymnastics, I think, going on here over the next couple of weeks.
In that context, or maybe, again, following off of that answer in this discussion, is it important that they get an Allen extension done before the season because of cap and all this other different stuff? Like, Brandon Bean came out yesterday and said, you know, they had, I think, one conversation. He had maintained in recent weeks that that's something we'll talk about in the spring after the draft. And then yesterday he talked about, can't guarantee it'll get done this year, folks. How important is it to get it done this year and have cost certainty with the quarterback?
I don't know if important's the word I would use, but listening to Brandon yesterday, you know, he sounded pretty okay with, if we don't get it done this year, then we don't.
Yeah.
Now, maybe preferred might be the case, but not necessarily important. He even said we have time.
Yeah.
Let's remember. What's the worst case scenario? If I put it that way, worst case, but what's the scenario if they, let's say they pick up Josh Allen's fifth year, which I expect them to do, that they don't sign him to an extension. Well, he still plays on his fourth year of his rookie deal at a very, very team-friendly cost in 2021. And then he's still really team-friendly in 2022. Granted, if he doesn't have some horrible tank of a season where you're like, oh my God, who is this guy? He's playing for probably half the rate of most of the top quarterbacks in the league. And then you still have the franchise tag after that for 2023. So how important is it? I don't know. I think it's mostly important for you and for them and Josh Allen to have that relationship to know going forward so it doesn't get contentious at any point. I think that's why it would be important.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, when do we talk about the schedule stuff, the real juicy stuff?
Just one other, one other quick.
You got one other question? Okay.
Yeah, just real quick. And I'm going to bring this up with Brandon Bean too, Sal, because I'm interested about this. You know, they do their grades, they stack their board, and among the things they consider when drafting guys, right, are medicals. And I thought it was interesting. He mentioned, you know, they didn't have the normal setup with the combine in Indianapolis where you can do full medicals on everybody. So there are some players that they might consider, right? The cornerback from Virginia Tech, the Phillips kid, the edge rusher from Miami, who have had some injuries. How much do you think that impacts the board? Is it possible this year they will now not draft a guy because they don't have the medical information they would normally get?
I would say absolutely. I think the Bills operate more so as an organization that's going to be on more on the safe side than the risky side when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to playing and the high ceiling, they drafted Josh Allen, who's a big risk and a swing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the medical. Yes, I think the Bills would be, and I think there are plenty of organizations that will do this year. If there's a guy that they really aren't sure of and they can't check, they'll probably eliminate him.
Yeah.
That's what I think they'll do. They're not going to take that chance and say, we just can't miss. You can't be paying a guy first-round money or even second-round money and banking on him to help your team, and then suddenly, you know, the medical, that's a wasted pick. You just can't do that. So I think the Bills are probably going to have to, again, I think a lot of teams are going to do this, scratch more people off their board than they normally would due to medical reasons. And who knows who that includes? We don't know. But I do think it thins the pool out a bit for these possibilities. And the crazy part about this is why this could be wild. Every team's going to be different on this.
Yeah.
Right? So some guys might be off 10 teams' boards because of medical, but they're not off the other 22 teams' boards. And then suddenly he starts dropping out of the top 10 or 15. And then, wait a minute, that guy's there. And now, okay, well, you know, we did have him kind of, we didn't really have him, we didn't want him because of the medical. Now do we go, do we think about getting him because he's dropping and there's a value and the risk now becomes... Okay, I don't know if anybody would do that, but I do think it's a fascinating question to understand.
Okay, go ahead to the broadcasting stuff, their schedule stuff.
Schedule stuff. Yeah. All right, Sal, so you have this connection. You talked to the scheduling guy, the guru.
Yeah.
We're going to get the Swami of scheduling.
Mike North.
Okay, so you going to break the bad news to Howard that they're going to play basically every single game at 8:30 at night?
Night games are killing me, Sal. Talk to these
guys. So
Sunday 1 or 4.
Let me just set this up for everybody. Mike North, who's the VP of broadcast planning for the NFL, he was on my podcast last year. It was phenomenal. It was awesome. Learned a lot. And I've stayed in contact with him and had him on my podcast again last night. But I haven't released the podcast yet. I'll be doing that this morning. So Sal Sports and Stuff is the podcast. Go check it out. I'll be dropping it this morning. I interviewed him last night. I just have to kind of put some things together on it. But yes, here's the deal. The Buffalo Bills are still going to be a darling of the networks. And based on what he said, and you can hear the interview, and we talked for 45 minutes. Guys, they're playing a lot of night games again this year. There's almost no doubt it's going to happen.
I'll take one for the team. Just all Thursdays and Saturdays, no Sundays and Mondays.
I mean, I don't know. It's fact. You know, look, remember, they've played Saturday games, Monday night games.
Thursdays.
Now, last year was different because of the pandemic.
Prime Sunday night
Thursday
candidate.
Games.
They're going to have they're on Sunday night.
And how about this? I would say even, I don't know this, but just based on what he said, I would say Sunday at 4 o'clock is not out of the question several times.
Oh, the national window on the afternoon.
Like, even playing at home or another, you know, Eastern time zone team or something like that.
I mean, everything's on the table. What about Thanksgiving night?
Yep.
Ooh,
third
game, yeah.
All of that.
Bills, Patriots, Thanksgiving night, something like that. You never know. I mean, that's usually reserved for a divisional game with, right, like a fun rate. I mean, I'm not sure if New England – listen to me. I mean, like, does New England rate for that? I think so. But everything's on its ear with their quarterback situation.
We talked a lot. I asked him specifically, are the Bills a candidate to play the opening Thursday night game at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah.
His answer was, and I'll try to say it the way he did, absolutely, they're in the conversation. They have to be.
Yeah.
That's how he said it.
I'm okay with that, by the way.
Who else would it be? It's them. It's Dallas. It's
the Giants, the Saints, but without Breeze, the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Panthers. I mean, you know, you do have some options.
Mm. What, do you want to open against Brady?
I'm actually intrigued by that game, quite honestly.
I mean, it's not a short week. You got months to get ready for it.
Yeah,
and
you get it out of the
first
way.
Version. I mean, imagine, I'm just trying to think of the hype around this team. The hype around this team is going to be out of control. We know that. And if they were to beat the defending Super Bowl champions on the road week one, I mean, what?
And they'd be beating Brady in a meaningful game,
by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
I will tell you, though, even though he had that answer, you know, I mean, he's doing a great job being a politician because he doesn't want to reveal the schedule, obviously. As we go on in that conversation over the next couple of minutes, he basically also says, look, you have to also think about, is that game better suited for later in the year when both teams are fighting for a playoff spot?
Could be
right?
A good
because that's
Sunday
a really good draw.
Game. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I mean, he mentioned Tampa, New Orleans, New England, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, all of those teams, like teams that, well, you might want to see them on prime time with the Bills.
They're gonna get, like,
you know, where do you put those teams? He said, they're not all going to be in September, I can tell you that. Like, you want to spread those games out, too.
What's the limit? Is there a maximum, right? There's a maximum.
I think it's five. I think it's five.
I bet you they get five.
I bet they get five.
Or do they get four? Hey, does a flex game count? Could you get five and then still be flexed into a night game?
I think you can, yes.
All right, because I was going to say, I think they're going to get flexed into a night game later.
And this is the first year they can flex from Sunday to Monday.
Monday, that's right. Monday, yeah, I forgot about that.
And Monday back to Sunday, yeah.
Let me get a call in here with Sal before we let him get going. Dennis in Williamsville, you're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Couple things. Number one, I know we were just talking about the running back conversation. A lot of it is, I think, like the production on the field that they're putting forward with Singletary and Moss. But, you know, there is also the discussion about the progress of Josh Allen and everything that he's done in this last year stepping forward. And I saw a stat from Pro Football Focus that talks about how Singletary was the number three best pass-blocking running back in the NFL, and Zach Moss was the number one best pass-blocking back in the NFL. And, you know, if our offense is about really throwing the ball all over the place, I think the Bills probably value that as being something. Not that we shouldn't get another piece at running back, but I think that that's an undervalued probably part of who we have on our roster there. Sal, I wanted to mention this guy to you. There's a guy out of Memphis, Kenneth Gainwell, who, you know, the year before Antonio Gibson came out of Memphis, and he was a receiver that they converted to running back, and Gainwell is exactly the same thing. That's their model there in Memphis. And this kid runs a 4.4 40, and I mean, he looks as natural as a pass catcher as I've ever seen. Wonder if that's some, you know, he's a third round projection. So I wonder if that might be a guy that we might want to target. Then we don't have to go in the first round. We can kind of look in the third round.
I'll say this. As you know, the Bills love their versatility, you just mentioned, but they like it in a lot of ways, right? How about Kenneth Gainwell, quarterback in high school with over 1,400 rushing yards, 6.3 yards per carry, 13 touchdowns. Wow. He also caught 51 passes for 610 yards. Like, yeah.
And the Bills love position players that throw the ball, right? They get John Brown's gone. He threw a little bit. We got Singletary. Who else has thrown?
So I'm sorry, I mixed up. He played quarterback in high school, but his numbers I gave you were college, but he's an all-around athlete is what he is. That's my point. We all know the Bills love these versatility.
Isaiah throw one at some point? Who else threw a touchdown pass?
Who threw the touchdown?
Yeah, Isaiah threw one to Josh against the Cardinals. All
right. Did Singletary throw one? Anyway.
He caught it.
Okay, I'm glad the caller brought up pass blocking because that's obviously – it definitely should be mentioned as an important thing. If the Bills are looking for an explosive piece to add, you know, every time we talk about this, I want to say I don't think it has to be first round at all. I do think it's a need for them. You know, Sal, it would go like this. All right, is he explosive? Yes. Can he pass block? That's the second question. Can he catch? Right? Mm-hmm. If they're going to pass it as much as they are, ideally what this team has in a running back, take away where they pick the guy, but ideally what they have is a three-down back that can catch, that can run, and that can pass block. And, you know, those are tough to find. They can do absolutely everything, a Hall of Fame caliber guy that can do it all. And right now they have guys that can pass block and guys that can run. The one thing about the efficiency in the run game, and you can look at some of this with NFL Next Gen stats, Singletary his entire career here has faced very light boxes. He does not run against stacked boxes. And, you know, he does fine. And I think one of the things to look at for what this team might want when they say they want to run the ball more efficiently is just as easy as, well, if I got a guy that could run through a hole faster, am I better? I mean, am I more efficient? Can I get everything else the same except a little bit more speed? Singletary makes guys miss, and that's cool, but I might want a guy to get through that hole that Brian Daboll creates with his scheme. It's there's a lot to figure in with the running back conversation, which is probably why, you know, so many fans like to talk about it, like to have a take on it.
I want to go back to what Brandon Bean said at the end of the season, which is all that stuff you said is right, Jeremy. But kind of the way you phrased it is, I might want to get a running back to do that. Brandon Bean kind of indicated it's not on the running back necessarily. We can do other things because it's, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be to get a running back, so to speak, to do it. There's other ways we can make sure we do that, right? So I think that's where you get tied up in, do they want the running back? He has held firm about really liking Moss and Singletary, but the one issue is, the one thing that always comes up, they're not the home run hitters, right? And I think that's where, but when do you need a home run hitter? When you get to the second level. You know, when you get out in space, when you have an opportunity to break away, that's where the home run comes in. But he has kind of maintained that, you know, it's not on those guys necessarily. It's on a lot of things that we can do differently.
Get a plug in for your podcast before we bid you adieu this morning.
Okay, yeah. Once again, I think people will really enjoy it. 45 minutes. Myself with Mike North, VP of Broadcast Planning for the NFL. He's the head schedule guy. I think he's number two. Howard Katz is number one, but he works right with him. And really good insight, not only into the Bills, but guys, like, playoff schedules changing. Like, you're going to have a Monday night playoff game coming this year, by the way. You know that, right? You're going to have a Monday night playoff game this year. We talk about the 17th game and the rotation, what's going to happen going forward, which is really interesting. Lots of really good stuff in there about the schedule, which is going to be released within the first 2 weeks of May. But we're going to have that for you. I'll be putting that up on my podcast page and tweeting it out here within probably about the half hour.
I'll check it out later today after nap time. Very good. Thank you, Sal.
Sounds good, guys.